the 12th chapter of Acts as a reference. I just want to talk to you for a few moments about a season of answered prayers. A season of answered prayers. Let's take a look at this word prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest tools one can have in the world because it opens the door to a dialogue with God. Prayer is a form of communication between you and God. Prayer is the opportunity to transcend the world in any given moment and connect with the only true and living God. Prayer is the word of God alive in our mouths, spoken with faith, believing that God will honor his word. God wants us to call on him, and he tells us that if we call on him, he will answer with great and mighty things. Power to change the circumstances around us lies in the word of God and our knowledge of that word. The understanding of the word is given to us through the Holy Spirit. We apply the word of God in the name of Jesus. We speak the word of God to situations and circumstances individually or together as believers, praying one for another with joy, knowing that we will receive. This year will bring about a season of answered prayers. And I just want to encourage you to hold on to the promises of God, because if you pray and faint not, you will experience the blessings of the Lord. In our text, we see that the church is faced with opposition. Since its inception, the devil has been trying to stop the church and even to destroy the church. But each persecution has caused the church to grow and become stronger. The New Testament believers learned how to face persecutions and overcome them with fervent prayer. The early church lived with the conviction that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One of the most eminent features of the early church in Acts is that they prayed. Let me show you. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 14, the church was birthed by 10 days of passionate seeking prayer. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John were going to church for the purpose of prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they prayed for boldness to preach, and they were filled with the Spirit. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles said they would focus on the number one priority of prayer and the word. Acts chapter 9, verse 40, Peter prayed and raised Dorcas from the dead. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Prayer opened the doors for the gospel to be preached to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 13, verse 3. They prayed and fasted and sent Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey. So the New Testament church believed in the power of prayer. And that's why we need to pray every day, so that we can believe in the power of prayer. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Amen.
Amen. We gotta believe. So now in this 12th chapter of Acts, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. So the church was going through some stuff. In fact, Herod fed off of the Jewish resentment for the followers of Christ. He had became the religious leader's conquering hero, just like Saul used to be. His acts against the church is found in the first four verses of the chapter. There we hear of James, the brother of John, being killed by Herod with the sword. And we notice that his actions pleased the Jews. Then he proceeded to take Peter, putting 16 soldiers over him because they intended to bring him to the people for trial after the Passover. So see, paint that picture. Peter is in jail, chains on his hands, probably his feet, and then there's 16 soldiers guarding him. 16 soldiers. Now, many of us are familiar with the angel coming to free Peter, and that is a very important part of the lesson. But I would like to draw your attention to how the angel was beckoned, and that was through unceasing prayer that the church did unto God for the deliverance of Peter. Some of you have been fervently praying for God to show up in your situation and bring about change. And I'm here to let you know that God has heard your cry, and the angel of the Lord has been beckoned. So get ready, because manifestation is about to happen. Now, while waiting for the manifestation of your answered prayer, you must maintain your prayer path. You've got to keep praying fervently. For the text says that in the fifth verse, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. So we see here that the church was committed to prayer. Peter was in prison, and they knew that if Herod had his way, he would be convicted, and Peter, just like James, would be executed. But the church relied on what worked for them, and that was prayer. Look what they did. While Peter was in jail, the church, without ceasing, prayed unto God for his deliverance. And in response to their prayer, Peter experienced a divine presentation. For the angel of the Lord showed up on the scene, and verse 7 says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him. Quick, get up, he told him. And it says that the chains fell off Peter's wrists. So while you're yet praying, you're praying for whatever you're praying for, God will manifest his presence right in the midst of your situation. And then he will show up and he will release divine revelation and send instructions. Every now and then, God will step in to let you know that, hey, I'm right here with you. You're not going through this thing by yourself. And if you really want God to act on your behalf, if you really need help, then all you need to do is ask God through prayer. Prayer is the way we communicate with God. So if we're talking to God every day right now for 4 minutes, we should have no problem problem. Hey God, how you doing? It's me again. You remember on yesterday, I was praying about this situation. I was discussing it with you. God is still here. I need you to help me. I need you to speak to me. I need you to turn the situation around. Next day, hey God, it's me. What's up? How you doing? God, I love you. You're an awesome God. And I give you praise. I'm still waiting, God, for that thing we talked about on yesterday. I believe you're going to step in. I know you know the right time to do it. I believe you're going to turn it. I believe that you're already working on my behalf. So you know what, God? I'm just going to praise you for it. Thank you, God, for bringing deliverance. Thank you, God, for setting me free. God, thank you for changing my children's heart. God, thank you, whatever it is. Next day, keep praying and thanking God. Let God know, I believe it's going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind, because doubt will come. We are all human, and doubt will come. We will pray for healing, and then, oh, but we're going to prepare for the worst. So right there, you show doubt, because now you're preparing for the worst. If you're praying for healing, but you're preparing for the worst, isn't that a contradiction? I want my loved one to be healed, but my loved one's going to die. I'm going to prepare. That's a contradiction. So you have to really believe. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we want them to turn out. And like I shared with you in regards to healing, when my friend passed away, that we prayed for her healing. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed for her healing. Right? But the healing that God gave her was to take her home with him. And she's healed. So she was healed, but not in the way we wanted her to be healed. We were being selfish. We wanted her to be here. And the thing is, if she would have stayed here, maybe she would have suffered. Maybe she would have been in pain. Maybe she couldn't have dealt with it. You know, I remember the words of my dad when he was in the hospital. And they made me, I had the his proxy, his healthcare proxy. And that's a hard thing, because the nurse was talking to me and to my dad about what would happen if things begin to fail. And my father said, if I die and you bring me back, will I come back like this? And I said to him, you probably will. And the nurse was saying, yeah, because he thought, like, if I die and then you resuscitate me, I'll be different. But that might not be the case. So he made the firm decision. I do not want to be resuscitated. That was a hard pill to swallow for me. But I had to honor his wishes. And then that morning, I got the call. And it hits you differently. That his kidneys were failing. All these things were failing. What do you want us to do? And I know my dad said, I don't want to be resuscitated. But I said, do whatever you can do. Do whatever you can do. Because it hits different. And then a few hours later, I got another call and that he was gone. So God saw fit. The healing we prayed for was a healing for him to go and be with him in heaven. So sometimes when we pray for our loved ones, I don't want you to think that prayer does not work. Sometimes we pray for our loved ones to still be here with us. But God knows best. God knows that if they stay, they may be suffering so much. And we don't want our loved ones to suffer, to be brain dead or to be laying just in a hospital, not responsive. You know, it's hard when you have a loved one who's not responsive. You go and you visit. I visited my dad, and I don't even know that he knew that I was there. So sometimes when we pray for that healing, God says, I'm going to heal them. I'm going to give them the ultimate healing and bring them on home. So God is there to help us get through every situation. For in Jeremiah 29 and 13, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If you search for God with all of your heart, you will find God. John 14 and 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because the word says if we ask anything in his name, God, heal my body in the name of Jesus. John 15 and 7 says, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It's right there in the book, right there in the Bible. When you pray, you should expect God to respond. When you pray, you should expect God to respond. Let's go back to our text. And it says, as they were praying, the Lord had already dispatched an angel to Peter's side for deliverance. And when Peter knocked upon the door, the servant girl answered it and heard Peter's voice, and she was so excited and so amazed that she didn't even open the door, but she ran back to tell them that Peter was there. It's amazing how we react when the Lord answers our prayers. Can you imagine? So they're all at the house, and they're praying. They're on their knees, and I'm going to pray the way I know how to pray. So I'm just going to use my hermeneutical aspect from it. But I can hear them praying. They're on their knees. Lord, we need you right now. God, we want you to free Peter for us. God, come in the room right now and free Peter. Take off the chains. Right now, God, spare his life. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And then Rhoda comes back and says, hey, Peter's at the door. And they're like, child, be quiet. You're crazy. We're praying. Come on, Lord. Free Peter. We need you to free Peter right now, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Free Peter now, Jesus. Hallelujah. And she's telling them, they didn't believe that Peter was set free. They're still praying. So here we have the preacher who broke out of prison, but he couldn't even break inside the prayer meeting. The participants at the prayer meeting were so skeptical of Rhoda's story that they left Peter standing outside the door knocking for some time. The lesson here for us is that many times were shocked that God actually answered their prayer. So here in our text, Rhoda was excited and amazed to see Peter standing at the door, knowing that just a few moments earlier, they were praying for his deliverance. You see, we must understand that the Lord gets joy in blessing us, and all we have to do is cast all of our cares upon him, and he will handle it. You see, the Lord is eager to prove himself to us. All we've got to do is give it to him in faith and then watch him work. Has anyone ever needed an all-important right now blessing? A blessing that God and only God can give you? And then when he gave that blessing to you, you knew that regardless of what anybody thought of you, the one thing you really knew is that the Lord cared so much for you while he was blessing other people, he took out the time to bless you as well. That's why it's so important that you know for yourself that prayer changes things. Because the Bible says, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And in the NIV version, it's translated this way. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So the Bible is letting us know that our prayers are powerful and effective. The more you pray, the better you get at it. The closer you're going to feel with God. You don't want to just pray to God when there's an emergency. You want to commune with God all the time. What do you think about? You think about people who don't talk to you for years and years, and then all of a sudden they're in a pickle. And they need something from you, so they give you a call. You're like, I haven't heard from that person in so long, now they want me to help them? They got to be crazy. If we feel that way, what do you think God is saying? Who's this person? But God knows all of us. Don't get me wrong, God knows all of us. But you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, don't just go to God when you need something. Just go to God just because. We like those just because. Here's a gift, just because. Right? Ed, you can buy Brenda a just because gift. And she's like, oh, honey. A just because. So let's have a just because conversation with God every day. And then it'll make it easy when you really need God to move on your behalf. It makes it easy to say, Father, I really need you. God, you know I love you. I tell you every day. Every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, I tell you, God, I love you. This morning, I love you still. But I really need you to help me. I can't deal with this situation anymore. God, I need you to turn things around for me. God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. God is here for us. Let's commune with God. For this is the season of answered prayers. No matter what your circumstance may be, it is not your destiny. Prayer can change things. Drugs may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Prayer can change things. Alcohol may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Pain may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Abuse may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Sickness may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Unemployment may be your circumstance, but it's not your destiny. Divorce may be your circumstance, encourage you to pray until something happens. For the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. And this is the season of answered prayers. Amen.